Gemara Daf Ayin Hey Amud Aleph is trying to understand the Shita of Rabbi Elazar that Kusi Lo Yisa Kusis, and here on the top of Amud Beis Ayin Hey Amud Beis, we suggested that perhaps Rabbi Eliezer accepts the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel that Kusim are Goyim, that Geirus is invalid. And Rabbi Shmuel in turn accepts the shita of Rabbi Akiva that Goy Habal Bas Yisrael Havlad Mamzer, because Rabbi Akiva's shita is that there is Mamzeris from Chayvei Lavim, and therefore in every case of a Kusi there's always a possibility that some Jew got mixed up in the lineage. A Yisraelis Kshera married a Kusi, because there was a lot of intermarriage with Kusim, and therefore the child of such a marriage, according to Rabbi Akiva, is a Mamzer, because of the din of Goy. Kusi has the status of a Goy, according to Rabbi Shmuel, Goy Habal Bas Yisrael Havlad Mamzer. And therefore, every Kusi is a Suffolk Mamzer, and a Suffolk Mamzer doesn't marry a Suffolk Mamzer. Alternatively, we could explain that perhaps one of the kusim is a mamzer, and that means a Jew. And if that kusi marries a kusis, he's marrying a goya, because every kusi is a suffig mamzer, suffig goya. The Gemara says, is it really true? Umi savala Rabbi Shmuel k'Rabbi Akiva. We're going to now try to prove from another statement of Rabbi Shmuel, which is quoted by Rabbi Yochanan in his name, and with a logical analysis of that statement, that Rabbi Shmuel rejects Rabbi Akiva. Minayin liovid kocham v'yevet shebo al hakohenes v'al aviyah v'al bas Yisrael shepisaluha. Rabbi Shmuel is going to present a very complex yalfusa to establish that in a relationship, a bia, between a goy and a bas Yisrael, the bas Yisrael becomes psula lekohen. Shenemar ubas kohen kitia almona ugrusha vizera einla. Now, before we see the limud, let's just understand the framework of the sugya. If the child of a bia relationship between a goy and a bas Yisrael is a, as Rabbi Akiva would have it, a mamzer, then it's a little bit odd that Rabbi Shmuel is going to do somersaults in the air to analyze a pasuk and derive that she, the mother of this child who had bia with the akum, is psula lekahuna. I mean, if the child is a mamzer, It wouldn't make any sense that Rabbi Shmuel would be working overtime to prove that the bia itself engenders a psul kuhuna, such that the mother who subjected herself to a bia with a non-Jew is psul lakuna. If she herself is a kohenes, she loses her rights to eat truma space of bia. All this would make no sense if indeed Rabbi Shmuel embraced the view of Rabbi Akiva that the vlad of such a relationship is a mamzer. And therefore, if you want to identify Rabbi Loza with Rabbi Shmuel's shita, that you could do, but to say that he based himself on Rabbi Shmuel because Rabbi Shmuel in turn accepts Rabbi Akiva, that's not acceptable. Now we'll take a look at the drush itself. The pasuk says, as we said before, in Vayikra Chav Beis, Vubas Kohen Kisia Almona Ugrusha Vizera Einla Veshova El Beis Avia Kinureo Milechem Avia Tochel, which means that a Bas Kohen, who's now, although she was married to a Yisrael, not to a Kohen, she became an Almona Ugrusha, she has no children from her marriage, she goes back to Beis Avia, the Torah explicitly says, and she can continue, or resume, shall we say, eating Truma, v'chol zar lo yochal bo. So the drasha now of Rabbi Shmuel is as follows: Misha yeshlo almenus v'gerushin. She was married to Yisrael, and she became an almana or a grusha. There was Torah's issues with that man, that Yisrael. Now he's gone. He's out of the picture. In such a case, the relationship that she had within the framework of issues with a Ben Yisrael, Yisraeli, that doesn't passel her as a Bas Kohen. She goes back to her father's house to eat truma. However, that doesn't apply Yotza Ovi Kochom the Eved. If she had a relationship with an Eved or an Akum, She'en lo Almonus V'gerish, and he doesn't have issues that his wife becomes an Almona or Grusha. Therefore, she does not go back to base of via to eat truma, but rather her relationship, her bia with this akum, passels her. It invalidates her for eating truma's base of via. So the Gemara's logic is visal kedaitach savala k'Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Shmuel adopted the position of Rabbi Akiva, that the child of a bia with a guy and a Jewish woman is a mamzer, is hashta mamzer havi mifsel piyosim iboile. Do we need a drasha, a complicated drasha, to derive the conclusion that she herself through this bia becomes psul lakuna and she can no longer eat truma? If the child is a mamzer, the Gemara thinks logically we don't need any derivation from the Torah, any complicated Yalfusa, to establish that she herself through this bia becomes psula. The very fact that Rabbi Shmuel felt compelled, he needed that special Yalfusa to derive the conclusion that bias goy passels this bas kohen from going back and eating truma's base of via, that itself is predicated on the assumption that he doesn't accept Rabbi Akiva, that goy habal bas yisrael avlad mamzer. So now the Gemara reformulates Rabbi Eliezer. It's the same logic, but a slightly different formulation. El Rabbi Eliezer Savala Ki Rabbi Yishmael Di Omar Kusim Geri Arayos Savala V'Savala Ki Rabbi Akiva Di Omar Ovi Kochav V'Yevet Abal Bas Yisrael Aflad Mamzer. He himself, Rabbi Eliezer, accepted the same view as Rabbi Yishmael, but not that he's basing himself on Rabbi Yishmael. He agrees with Rabbi Yishmael that the status of a kusi is that of a goy. The gerus is not valid. He also accepts the position of Rabbi Akiva that goy abal bas yisrael avlad mamzer. If you combine those two, then every single kusi comes under this suffix. Maybe he is a descendant. One of his ancestors was a Yisraelis who married a kusi. Therefore, he is a Yisrael, but he's a mamzer. And if he's a mamzer, if he marries a kusis, and a kusis is a guy, if she had no ancestry that was Jewish, she's a pure kusis, which geri arayis means there's no gerus, and then a mamzer is marrying a guy, and that's a bias guy, that's a bias avera. Therefore, we cannot allow that, and no kusim can marry one another. So Gemara asks now, mi sovrala Rabbi Eliezer k'Rabbi Akiva, is it really so that Rabbi Eliezer accepts the view that the child of a relationship between a guy and a Jewish girl is a mom? So Omar Rabbi Eliezer, afal pishen nechleku beit sham beisil bitzaros. Okay, now, in order to introduce the framework of this logical deduction regarding Rabbi Eliezer's shita of the status of the Vlad, what we need to point out is that the chiddush of Rabbi Akiva, that the status of a vlad is that of a mamzer, is because of chayvei lavin. And now we want to know, what would Rabbi Eliezer's view be? Does he accept Rabbi Akiva on chayvei lavin, that the child from chayvei lavin relationship is indeed a mamzer? We're going to take as a paradigm of chayvei lavin what's called a yevama lashuk. A yevama lashuk is a violation of the law of Lotia Eisha Sames Achutzel Ish Zar with the Vlad. If she went ahead and she had a relationship with an Ish Zar before she received Chalitza, be a Mamzer. So Rabbi Elazar made the following statement from which we can deduce his position on the Vlad of the Yavamel HaShuk, who had a relationship with an Ishzar. Rabbi Elazar said, with regard to, and here we need another little introduction, the machlokas between Beisil Beit Shammai about Saras Erva, which means a Yavama fell for Yibum, and she has a Tzara. That Tzara, in other words, the late brother was married to two women, and one of those two women, who's called a Tzara, was an erva to him. And here we have machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beisil. Beit Shammai are of the opinion that a Tzaras erva, in other words, let's say there were two wives of the late Reuven. There was Rachel and Leah. And Rachel is an erva to Shimon the Yavam. After Reuven dies, Shimon cannot be miyabim Rachel because she's an erva. And Leah now is a tzaras erva. In other words, even though Leah is nothing more than Ashes Achiv, which would allow for Zikas Yibum, but since she's the tzara of an erva, Basil of the opinion that there's no Yibum and there's no Chalitza, there's no Zikas Yibum in such a case. Beit Shammai, on the other hand, hold that this tzaras erva is not an erva. She falls for Yibum like any other Yavama. And what happens if according to Beit Shammai, if somebody went ahead and based on Beit Shammai, he married, this Yavam married the Tzaras Erva, what would be the status of the child of that relationship? Or according to Beit Shammai, what happens if somebody relies on Beis Hillel, and as a Tzaras Erva, she doesn't fall for Yibum, and therefore she did not receive Chalitza, and she married someone else? Says Rabbi Lazar, Modim, both Beit Shammai and Beisil, Modim, Zelazer, She'ein Mamzer Elimimishi Suro Erva Vianush Kares. And what does that mean? That in order to create Mamzerus, it's not enough to have a Bias Erva, it's got to be a Bias Kares. If there's an erva, an iser bia, forbidden relationship, which is only a lav, that would not engender, if it was violated, a mamzerus. Therefore, if let's say somebody relied on Beis Shammai, and the yavam therefore went ahead and married his tzaras erva, the child of such a relationship, according to Beis Hillel, would be a mamzer. And the reason for that is that this is what we call Iser Eishes Ach Shelo B'Makom Mitzvah. Shimon is marrying the wife of his brother Reuven without the mitzvah of Zikas Yibum, because Koyt Beisil Tzaras Erva does not fall for Yibum. But, and this is the punchline of this discussion, Rabbi Elazar would say that let's say the Yavam relied upon Beis Hillel, and he did not give Chalitza to Leah, who's the Tzara of the Erva Rachel. She, now Leah, went out and married someone else without any Chalitza. Even according to Beit Shammai, who says in this case there was a violation of Lo Siya Eishes HaMeishes Chutz LiZar, nevertheless the child born of such a relationship, insofar as it's only a lav, is not a mamzer. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, the Vlad would have to be a mamzer because it was a child born to a violation of a law of Lo Siya Eishes HaMeishes Chutzah Leish Zar. So Beit Shammai would have to recognize the Vlad as a mamzer. The fact that Rabbi Elazar says no, Beit Shammai would agree that the Vlad is not a mamzer, that's because Rabbi Elazar rejected Rabbi Akiva, and the only time that the Vlad of a Bias Isur is a Mamz is only if it's a Chayve Krisus, but not a Chayve Lavim. So therefore we come back to the drawing board about Rabbi Elazar's statement that a Kusi cannot marry a Kusis. Ella, the Gemara says, Ki Asa Ravin, when Ravin came to Bavel from Eretz Yisrael Omar, he brought a tradition of Rav Chiya bar Abba, Rav Yochanan, the name of Rav Yochanan. Amri le others say it was in the name of Rabbi Abba bar Zavda. in the name of Rabbi Hanina. There's a third possibility that was Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi in the name of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. And whatever the tradition is, the bottom line is Shalosh Machlokos Bedover. That means that there are three shitos with regard to Kusim and Kohanim that married into families of Kusim. As we're going to see, it's going to develop three shitas from a pasuk, as we'll soon see. Let's just say the following, that the Ritva gives us a little bit of an overview of this sugya, and here we turn to Daf Ayin Hey Amud Beis, and he points out that there are three shitos here. Rabbi Yishmael is going to be the first shita he holds, that Kusim Geri Arayasen, which means that Kusim are Goyim, Kohanim married into these Kusim, and who are these Kohanim? They were Psule Kahuna, and Asurim Zeba Zemishum Yisur Goy. Correct, that the that any Kusi might be a descendant, as we discussed earlier, of one of these Psule Kahuna, might have the status possibly of a Jew and is marrying a Goy. Rabbi Akiva is going to hold name that Kusim are Geri Emes, and the Halacha does recognize the Gerus of Kusim. Now, who are these Kohanim that mixed in, married into the families of Kusim, who were absolute Gerim? They were Psule Kahuna, and what they did was, because of an incorrect understanding of a pasuk that we'll soon see, they allowed for a married woman who is Yevama Lashuk to marry without Yibum. And Rabbi Akiva's Shita is that, as we discussed before, a violation of a lav, in this case, Losiyesh Tameis Achutzli Zar, is enough to engender Mamzerus. And therefore we have a problem of Mamzer here. So it's not like, as Rabbi Shmuel would see this as a possible Iser marriage to a Goy in the case of Kusim, because of Geri Arayas, and Rabbi Akiva would hold that the problem, the Iser, is a different problem. And that is because of a Ger marrying a Mamzeres. And the Shita Rabbi Yehuda here, that Ger is not allowed to marry a Mamzeres, would apply within the context of Rabbi Akiva, because we now have Gerim, and because of the marriage of a Yevama Lashuk and a violation of that Isur, we have Mamzeres here. So you have a Ger and a Mamzer. That marriage between a Ger and a Mamzer is prohibited according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Akiva accepts Rabbi Yehuda. And then we have the Shita, the third Shita of Rabbi Lazar, who says that the Gerus is valid, and there's a problem with Mamzerus, not because of Chayvei Lavim, the case of Yevama Lashuk, because Rabbi Lazar holds that there is no Mamzerus from Yevama Lashuk, from Chayvei Lavim, he rejects Rabbi Akiva, but because of a different reason. And that is because there may be Kohanim mixed in here, in this whole mixture, in this whole dough that's called Kusim, and there's also a possibility of Mamzerus, and the reason for that is because, as we'll soon see, the Kohanim are not, the Kusim, excuse me, are not familiar, they're not experts on the laws of Gittin v'Kiddushin, and they might be Matir and Eshes Ish, and the children are Mamzerin. So let's go through the three Shitos now inside here on the top of Daf. Actually, starting on the bottom of Daf Ayin Hey Amud Beis, going on to the top of Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yishmael Savar Kusim Geri Arayas Konim Shenitmu Behem Konim Psulim Hayu Shenemar. How do we know that these Konim were Psulim? And the answer is, there's a pasuk in Malachim Beis, and there it says Vayu Yireim Es Hashem Vayasu Lahem. We're referring, the pasuk is referring to Kusim Miktsosam, and that's that word Miktsosam has to be interpreted, as we'll soon see, Miktsosam Kohanei Bamos. What happened was that when the Kusim were worshipping Avodah Zarah, and they brought Karbanos on Bamos, they enlisted the service of Kohanim Yisraelim to serve as the priests for bringing their avodah zarah dika karbanos in the base bamos. And down the line, these Kohanim married into the families of Kusim. The Omar Rabba Bar Bar Chanam Rab Yochanan Minakotzim Sheban. The word Miktsosam refers to Kotzim. Kotzim are literally thorns, which means psulim. In other words, there were Kohanim psulim that couldn't serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Apparently, they were very upset about it, and therefore, as a result, somehow they were employed, if you will, on the bamos of the Kusim. Umishum hachi paslinu, and the gerus was not recognized as gerus, and they were considered psulim, and they weren't allowed to enter into Klal Yisrael. In other words, the assumption is that these so-called kohanim would marry into the Kusim. The Kusim were not Gerim, according to Rabbi Shmuel, because as we said, Rabbi Shmuel maintains Kusim Geri Arai is same. So here you have a relationship between a Yisrael, who's a Kohen Pasul, and a Gioris that's not a Gioris at all, because the Gioris is not valid. So there's a marriage here between a Jew and a non-Jew. Now, even though the Kohanim that mixed into this lineage of and families of Kusim were originally Psule Kahuna, but not Psule Kol, but as a result of their marriage with Goyim, by intermarrying with the Kusim, their offspring became Psule Kahol. So you went from a transition from Psule Kahuna to Psule Kol. In fact, it wouldn't make a difference whether the ones who married into the Kusim Mishpachos were Kohanim or not Kohanim, but that's the way the Maisa happened. That's historically what took place according to this understanding of Rabbi Yochanan of the Pasuk Miktsosam in terms of the Kohanim who got mixed in to the families of Kusim. Halachically, it would make no difference whether it was a Kohen who married into the Kusim or it was Yisrael, but all this admixture is going to create Mamzerus, is going to create situations of Psule Kahol. The bottom line is that according to Rabbi Shmuel, the reason why we don't allow marrying into the Kusim is because we assume they're Goyim. Then the Gemara quotes Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Sarva Kusim Geri Emes. We do recognize their Gerus. The Kohanim Shenitmuhem Kohanim Ksherim Hayu. And the Kohanim that married these Gerim were Ksherim. Shenemar. He takes a different perspective on this pasuk. Vayasalehem Miktsosam Kohane Bamos. Vayu osim lahem beveis habamos. Om Rabbi Rabba Bar Barchanam Rabbi Shmuel. Om Rabbi Yochanan min habachirim shebaam. These Kohanim who actually served on these bamos were amongst the best Kohanim, because again the bamos here were the bamos of Gerei Emes. V'el mipnei ma osrum v'pnei shahayu miyabmim es harusos. They accepted the mitzvah. Kusim accepted the mitzvah of Gerus. I'm sorry, the mitzvah of Yibum, but in a very restricted way. It only applied to an Arusa, but not to a Nesua. And according to Rabbi Akiva, that's going to engender Mamzerus. Upochimus and Nesuos, they understood that a married woman does never fall for Yibum, even though her husband died without any children. The Gemara now explains, my Darshi, how did they, the Kusim, misunderstand the Pasuk and the Parsha of Yibum, and lead to the conclusion that a married woman who had Nesuin does not fall for Yibum? And here we're looking at Daf Ayin Vav Amun Aleph. The Torah says, Kieshu achim yachdov in Parski Tetsi umes achad meyem uvein einlo lo siya eishas hames hachutza liish zar. Emphasize that word hachutza. Yevama yovo leo ulakachalo liisha viyibma. The eishas hames, meaning the yevama, is described in the Torah with the adjective hachutza. what woman fits that profile? She's called Hachutza, and she engenders a mitzvah of Yibum. Hach diyasva chutza. She's not really married. In other words, she's sort of in a limbo state. She can't marry anyone else, but she's not yet married to her husband. That's the case of an arusa. And the Torah describes regarding this arusa, hilo siya li'ish zar. She falls for yibum. Aval hach de lo yasva chutza. But a nesua who's already married, she's not sort of alienated. She's not suspended in midair. She has a husband. Is Ena's kukul yibum? She doesn't fall for yibum. And Tia Lishzar, she can marry anyone without yibum, without chalitza. And therefore, according to us, she is a yevama lashuk. The relationship between her and anyone else before she gets chalitza is that of a violation of a lav. Rabbi Kiva l'taime, Rabbi Kiva is very consistent. The Omar yesh mamzer michayvi lav. And if the violation of osia esh sames achutz lishzar would generate therefore mamzerus. The Yesham, now we get to the third shita, it's Rabbi Eliezer's shita. Lefisha ain bekim bedikduke mitzvahs. The reason why kusim are excluded from Kal Yisrael is because they're not careful about dikduke mitzvahs. The Gemara says, man yesh omrin, to identify the yesh omrin of Rav Idi bar Ovin, Rabbi Eliezer, he. How do we know the Yesh Omrim are identified with Rabbi Eliezer? Says the Gemara, the Sanya, because of a Brisim Psochim, it says, Matas Kusi Muteres. The Kusim are very careful about Chometz, and therefore you can guarantee yourself that their Matzah is reliable, it's been protected from Chimutz. Therefore, if you purchase a Matzah from a Kusi, Odom Yotzebehen Yidecho Voso B'Pesach, he can use this Matzah for his mitzvah of matzah, because it's a matzah shmura which was guarded from chimutz. The kusim are reliable. Rabbi Eliezer Oseh, Rabbi Eliezer says you can't rely on their matzah. And why is that? Lefisha ein bekiyim bedikduke mitzvahs. They're not reliable on being careful to make sure that the dough did not rise and ferment and become chametz. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kol mitzvah shechziku bakusim harbe medaktikim bayosem Yisrael. Those mitzvahs, says Rabbi Shimon, that the kusim actually accepted upon themselves, they did a better job than the Jews. They were so careful and meticulous, and therefore they have the reliability and we can eat their matzah. But Rabbi Eliezer is the one who says, ein bekiyim bedikduke mitzvahs. Also, the Gemara asks the following question now. That makes sense with regard to the matzah of kusim. If they're not bekiyim b'mitzvahs, they're not going to protect the matzah from chimutz. We cannot eat their matzah v'elohocha. But here, with regard to the isurim lava b'kol, that we can't marry a kusi, my ein bekiyim. How do we apply that rule of ein bekiyim to marriage? Lefisha ein bekiyim b'toras gittin kedusha v'gittin v'gerushin. It means that we have to be choshesh because of the lack of meticulous care with regard to Kedushin, that maybe they would be Matir and Eishes Ish. Let's say there's a Sufik Kedushin, they're going to allow her to get married, and that's against the Din. Or perhaps, in a case of a Get, they'll be Machshir the Get, when it's really a Sufik, whether that Get is good or not good. And they'll be Matir and Eishes Ish. And therefore the children of the Kusim, Amam Zerim. Now the Gemara gives an additional reason why the kusim are not allowed to marry one another. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rava Baravua, Mamzer Me'achoso, U'Mamzer Me'eshes Och Nis'arvu Bahem. Amongst the kusim, there were marriages of an erva, of a close relative, like for example, Achoso, in which a kusi married his own sister, or Eishes Achiv, he married the wife of his brother. And we don't recognize amongst the families where these arayas and got mixed in. And therefore, with regard to any single kusi, we have to be choshesh for the possibility shema hu mamzer, and therefore you can't marry them. And the Tosa Rosh adds that even according to this explanation of kusim asurim zebazeh, we still have to say that there were some Jews mixed in, because otherwise, who cares if they're mamzerim if they're not Jews? The kusim are asurim zebazeh, because maybe somebody married a Jewish girl who was ksheira, and yet she came from a family of mamzerim, and therefore we have mamzerim mixed in. Now, if we assume that there was no admixture into these families of kusim, of Jewish blood, of real kosher yidden, then why would we say asurim zebazeh? I mean, who cares if a guy marries a guy? And not only that, if let's say we recognize their gerus, a ger is allowed to marry a mamzeres according to that shita. So what's the problem? The answer is that there was some admixture of a Yisrael kosher, and a Yisrael kosher now might be marrying a mamzeres because of the fact that there was marriage with an erva, in this case Eishes Achiv or Achoso. The Gemara now asks, Maikom Mashmalon, this statement of Rav Nachman, who's explaining that there's mamzer from Achoso that got mixed in, he could have just said that there's mamzeris here. Why do you have to pinpoint Achoso? And the answer is, Rav Nachman wants to teach us something else, that Yesh Mamzer Michaive Krisus, this is to exclude the Shita that we've mentioned before, which is a sugin yevamis mem test, that there's no mamzer except for chayvei misus bezdin. And the answer is the Rav Nach wants to tell us that there's mamzeris from achoso v'nisnei chado. Why do you have to mention two cases of chayvei krisus? He could have just mentioned achoso, and that would have been sufficient. Because indeed there were two situations or scenarios of mamzeres that they knew of in the families of the kusim. Rava Omar, Rava says, Eved v'shivchon is arvu bohem. Amongst the kusim, there was an eved that married one of the daughters of the kusim, or there's a shivcha that married one of the sons of the kusim. We don't know which mishpach it is, and therefore there's going to be an iser to marry a kusi. The Gemara says isura mishumai mishum shivcha is nisnei chada. Why didn't Rava just mention the case of a shivcha? That would have been sufficient. Ma'isa shahoya kachoya. Meaning enochinami, it would have been enough for Rava to make his point and justify the isur marrying a kusis based on the shivcha that got married into these mishpachos. Because the child of such a relationship, if it's a boy, would be an Eved. So we already have Eved v'shivcha by virtue of the fact that there's shivcha. There's no need to spell out Eved. But Maisa Shahoya Kachoya, that's what actually happened. There was an Eved that married into the Kusis, a Kusis, and there was a shivcha who married a Kusi. That's exactly what happened. Now, in the middle of Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, we have the next Mishnah. In the previous Mishnah, we had explained who's allowed to marry whom, the Seder Yuchsin. And now our Mishnah, this new Mishnah, wants to establish how do we check the Yichus of someone who's unknown. We don't know his Yichus. And are there cases where we don't have to check the Yichus because it's a chazaka that the family is a miyucheses? And the Mishnah says that if a Kohen nose isha kohenes, if a man wants to marry a bas kohen, tzarich livdok achreo, he has to check out her yuchus in the previous generations, and to make sure and guarantee that in the previous generations, the ancestry, there was no mamzeris or other psulim. Tosus points out the particular emphasis here on kahuna, because we want to establish that the children of this marriage would indeed be able to serve as kohenim on the mizbeach. And for sure you'd have to check out to make sure that there's no violation of chalolus here. And that would be relevant, obviously, way beyond the mizbeach, even as far as achilas truma. But perhaps as far as Truma is concerned, we were dealing with a chi of Misa, Misa v'dei shamayim, albeit there's no need for bedika. In other words, there's going to be a certain let's say, serious attitude towards chalolos, towards the admixture of chalolos, which would prohibit the achilas chum with a chi of misa. But when it comes to shimush al gabi mizbeach, lechora, there might be a little bit more carelessness because there's no involvement here of a chi of misa. Although we have to admit that if it was Shabbos, there would be chil Shabbos if a psul kuna, a zar, would serve on the mizbeach and violate any of the malachos of Shabbos, that would be a chiv misas bezdin. And therefore, indeed, there is a logic that compels us to assume that we would need a bedika as far as any sort of admixture of chalolus that would prohibit the children from not only eating truma, but even serving on the mizbeach. And to check out the previous ancestry and the yichus of the doris that came before, to make sure there's no mamzeris in the family, or any other psulei chitun. And there's a discussion here in the mefarshim about, is there a need to check for mamzerus? Lechora, it should be enough to check the mother's yichus and the father's yichus. If they were ksherim, that would be sufficient to establish that there's no mamzerus. So just to reiterate, Tosfos' kasha is, if we're checking out mamzerus, the way Rashi seems to say it here, v'dibra masel bodkim, why is it necessary to go beyond the parents and check earlier generations? That point really needs a lot of clarification. Rashi also indicates in that same Dibra Maschil that there are sharp sulim. We're not sure exactly what he means by sharp sulim. Pashtus would be chalolos, as we mentioned earlier. But he says minapsulos lehakol, that seems to indicate more mamzerus and not chalolos. And at the same time, we would certainly want to check for chalolus. And that's discussed, addressed here in Tosus Dibra Maskel Tzorich. But for now, what we want to focus on is just the pshat in the Mishnah. That's our goal. The Mishnah says, Tzorich livdok achareha arba imos. Arba imos. Okay, so what do we know now? She is a potential marriage partner. And we have to check two imos on her mother's side and two imos on her father's side. And that's what we call arba imos. Now, how do we check her two, right? Each person has two imos mitzad ha'av, which means we're going back to the grandparents, and two imos mitzad ha'em. So now, how do you get shtayim mitzad ha'av and shtayim mitzad ha'em? So when you're checking out the father of this potential bride, you're going back not only to his mother, but his mother's mother. So that's already shtayim. And when you're checking out the mother of this potential bride, you're checking out her mother, which would be her grandmother, and her mother's mother, which would be her great-grandmother. And then the Mishnah says, Shehein Shmona Noshim. But at the end of the day, you've got eight women that you're checking out. And why is that? Because you have four from each. So I'm going to read the Pirush on this Mishnah. Shtayim mitzad ha'av u'shtayim mitzad ha'em. Hainu, ima v'em avi ima. That would mean not only the potential bride's mother, but also the potential's mother's great-grandmother, meaning on her mother's paternal side, the paternal grandmother, her mother's mother, which would be her maternal grandmother and her maternal great-grandmother, Shehem Shmona, that if you calculate all the mothers that you have to check out, you'll end up with Shmona. And the Mishnah specifies who the Shmona are. There's Ima, right, the mother of the potential bride. There's Aim Ima, the maternal grandmother of the potential bride. Then there's Aim Avi Ima, means the potential bride's grandmother, I should say great grandmother, right? Because we're talking about her grandfather, and we're checking out the mother of her grandfather, that would be her great grandfather, the Ima, and her grandmother, and great grandmother, I should say, on her mother's side. The Aim of Viha the Ima, the Aim of Viha the Ima. So we have now, all told, 8. The Gemara is going to clarify that the reason why we check all the Imos and we're not checking the Avos is because if there's a chash of a psul biaviha or biaviaviha, and therefore we should be checking them out, the answer is that darkom shal anoshim ravim zelazeh. So we'll see this in the Gemara pretty quickly. The Mishnah goes on and says, Leviya v'Yisraelis, if a man wants to marry a potential bride who's not a Bas Kohen, Mosifin Aleim, in such a case, we have to check Od Achas. We have to go back one generation earlier. And that means Od Eim Achas, Bechol Zug V'Zug. Kigon, for example, Ima, the Aim Ima, the Aim Ima. So we're going to have to go back to an earlier generation. It's not enough to do the great grandmother. We have to go back even one earlier generation. And I just want to check out the Mefarshim here. Bodek S, Aim Ha'isha, Shenose, the Aim Ima. Is Bodhikambit aim ima that we said? Milvad aim avi ima vi ima. Bodhikam es aim avi ima. U milvad she bodhik es aim avi avi ima. Bodhikam es aim avi ha. Milvad shebodik es aim avi aviha v'ima, bodikam es aim avi aviha. V'nimsa shebodik shteim esrei imah. So we added another additional 4 mothers in this, in the lineage. Ein bodkim lo min mizbeach ulamala. That someone whose ancestors worked on the mizbeach, we don't have to check. We'll see why. V'lo min aduchin ulamala. If, let's say, this person's grandfather was Ola Leduchin, let's say, for example, Avi Aviha would stand next to Leviim on the Duchin and would be Meshoria the Shirim in the Beis HaMikdash, and that's what we mean by Minad Duchin. V'lo asenhejin olamala. Min asenhejin olamala means if the grandfather was a member of the Sanhedrin, and they had the power of determining capital crimes. We're going to have a discussion about that later, Mirtz Hashem. There's no need for bedika. And v'chol shehuchsaku avosav mishotrei rabim, if amongst the ancestries there were dayonim who were judging monetary law, the Gaboy Tztaka, who were in charge of collecting Tztaka money, even compelling a person who has the wherewithal to give Tztaka to give against his will. In all these cases, Masiyan Lakuna, the Ein Tzarech Livdoch Achreim, we don't have to be Bodek the Yichus. And every one of these cases is going to be analyzed by the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Af Misha Hayachosum, Eid Biarche, Hayishana shel Tzipore. There was an old city of Tzipore, the old city, and there, if a person testified, he added his signature to to a testimony on a document in the Beis Din, the old city of Tzipore, which was outside of the new city of Tzipore, they were so makpid that anyone who signed the Eidus would be miyuchas, that there's no need to check the mothers. That itself is proof positive of the reliability of the Yichus. Rabbi Hanina ben Atignos Omer, Af Misha Hayim Muchtav Be'is Teratia. These were the lists of soldiers, Shel Melech, that went out in the king's army, and these soldiers were known to be Miyuchasim. We'll see that the word Melech here, the Gemara is going to explain, is an allusion to David HaMelech, and the Chelos, the armies of David HaMelech, no one was drafted for the army to go out to battle unless he was a Miyuchas. And this is based on a pasuk in Divrei HaYomim. And the reason for this is that we wanted the schus of the avos to help them out in battle. And we'll see in Yirtzeh Hashem how the Gemara develops all of this. The Gemara right now asks, Maishna b'noshe badkinon u'maishna b'gavri lo bodku? If a woman wants to get married to a man, he's the potential groom, we don't have to check out his four imahos, or his four avos. And why is that so? The Gemara answers, Noshi dechi mintsu bahari adodi. If women have any sort of friction amongst them, and as a result of the tension and the altercations, one person uses a shame gnai to the other one, is barayasu demintsebe. What they do is they spread a rumor, if you will, accusing them of being psulim, psule yichus, that there was some znus in the family. V'im isa dika milsa, and this is the issue here, that if there is some sort of psul yichus in this woman that's potentially to be married, lo isla kala, nobody knows about the maisa's nus, and therefore there's no kol. So again, we're talking about a psul yichus, a real possibility of psul yichus, but there's nothing circulating about it. Any sort of a maisa's nus is a crime that's committed in privacy and secrecy. Now, in the case of Gavri de Chimintzu Badi Adadi, amongst men, if there is some sort of altercation and sort of fighting, and one wants to spread a bad name about the other, is Biyuchsin Hudiminse. They spread a word about Psul, you know, they call one person a mamzer, so to speak. And in that case, the Gemara says, in the Isa de Ika Milsa, if there's any real Psul Yichus, Isle Kola, it should be pretty known. It's a rumor that spreads around. And the absence of a rumor itself is going to be proof that there's no need to check out the Yichus. The Mefarshim want to know, why is it that women are not, in a case of an altercation, why aren't they Meganos, Zub, Psul Yuchsin? And the answer is that the women are less familiar with Yichsei Mishpachos, but they may know about some sort of an affair that went on, some sort of an illicit relationship, and therefore their gnus is by rayos. One woman often knows about from her friend about a maisa's nus, and they're not careful to withhold that information. Sometimes they blab about it, they spill the beans. The Gemara says, "V'ihi nami tivdok be bididei." The Gemara wants to know now, why is it that till now the Gemara has addressed the issue of checking out a potential bride by investigating her mothers? We didn't investigate the fathers. Now the Gemara wants to know, in the case of a Bas Kohen who wants to marry a Kohen, let her check the mothers of this potential groom, find out, for example, if there's a psul yichus in this groom. And the answer is, Misayel el Rav, the Omer Abudim Rav, lo huzer uksheros li nasi lepsulin, that if a woman is a Bas Kohen, she doesn't have any prohibition that enjoins her from marrying those who are apostle likuhuna, like halolim, gerim, avodim, shukhrarim, because that azhara was given to the male members of zichrei kuhuna. And if the Torah is not makpid, the chacham are not going to be makpid as well to require that we check out the potential groom. Maybe he comes from psulim. And we're going a step further. Not only are we alleviating the responsibility of checking for psulei kahuna, meaning psulei chalolos and the like, but even for psulei kahal, like mamzer and shtuki, even that we don't have to check out. If somebody has a chazaka of an isur, then you're not allowed to marry him. But if there is no such chazaka in the absence of any knowledge, then she can marry him without checking him out. Now the Mishnah says that we have to check out this bride, this potential bride, by checking her four mothers, which are actually eight, as we calculated it. Is what about a brisa brought down by Rav Adah bar Ava? Rav Adah bar Ava Tani seems to have a different formulation of the brisa. Arba imol shehein shtemisre. That we really have to go back three generations in order to set up 12 imohos. Our Mishnah says it's sufficient to have 8 imos, which means only two generations back. For Masnisa and Tana, the Brisa of Arba imos, Shehein Sheshisre. We even have a further Brisa that goes even one generation earlier and ends up with Sheshisre. So we're checking not only the Aim Ema, but the Aim Ema. Is Bishleimo l'Rav Adah bar Ava? According to Rav Adah bar Ava, he brought the brisa of Shtemisre Imos. That's not really a stira to our Mishnah that mentions only four Imos. Mishum, and here we want to look on Daf Ayin Vav Amid Beis, is Mokim La B'Leviya Ubas Yisrael. That the brisa that requires shtemisre imos, that's a case of a Levi and Bas Yisrael. You have to add to them another mother going back one earlier generation, and therefore you're going to be both 12 women. And that we saw already in our Mishnah, that for a Levi and Bas Yisrael we had another generation, Alamas Nisa. But the second brisa that says 16 women adding another generation, Nema Pliga, shall we assume that brisa certainly contradicts our Mishnah, which only has 8. Lo, the Gemara says the brisa can be reconciled with our Mishnah. My, what did the Mishnah mean when it said Mosifin Aleim Od Achas? It means Zug Achas. It means two Imos for each one of the four, and therefore you're going to check out 16 Imos. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Zo Divrei Rabbi Meir. Amal Chachamim, Omrim Kol HaMishpachos Pecheskas Ksheros Hein Omdos. There is the opinion of Rabbi Meir to reject our Mishnah, and according to Rabbi Meir, the assumption is that all Mishpachos are Pecheskas Ksheros, unless we know otherwise, and therefore there's no requirement of Bedika. Eini, the Gemara asks, V'amar Rav Chama, Bar Guri Amarav Mishnasenu Kishekore Olav Arar. Our Mishnah, according to Rav Chama, in the name of Rav, only requires a bedika of a potential bride if there was an error of two Eidim who came in to testify that there is some sort of call, some sort of rumor about the mishpachos, the ancestry of this bride, of psul. And therefore, there's no machlokas between our Tanakama, our Rabbanon, and Rabbi Meir. And the Gemara answers, man de masni ha, lo masni ha. The one who held from this didn't hold from this, the questions of traditions. Now it's Rabbi Yehuda who said, in the name of Rav, that our Mishnah reflects the sheet of Rabbi Meir. He doesn't hold that Rav understood our Mishnah as a case of Karol of Irur. Whereas Rav Chama Bar Guria, he understood that Rav interpreted our Mishnah as a case of Karol of Arar, and therefore he holds that our Mishnah can reflect a shita which can be reconciled with Rabbi Meir. So the Chacham and Rabbi Meir both agree. And these are two different Amoraim. One is Rabbi Yehuda, one is Rabbi Chama, who had two different traditions as to what Rav exactly said. Ika di Amri. There's another Lishna here. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Zo Divrei Rabbi Meir. Aval Chachamim Omrim, Kol HaMishpachos Becheskas Ksheros Heim Omdos. Here it's explicit that in Rabbi Yehuda's tradition, the name of Rav, that according to Rabbi Meir, there's no need for chazakos. I'm sorry, for bdikos, but rather we could rely on the chazakos. Amar Rav Chama Bar Guri Amar Rav im kori lov aror tzorach livdok achareha. According to this second version of Rav, which is reported by Rabbi Chama, Rav Chama, even though we said that all the mishpachos of Cheskes Ksheros, nevertheless, if there was a Kriyas Irur, then we need to be Bodek, even according to Chachamim. And in this second Ika D'Amri, there's no Machlokes about the opinion of Rav, because both Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Chama come to the conclusion that Meir and Chachamim can be reconciled. Ein Bodkin min ha-mizbeach ulemala, my taima. Why is it that if the ancestry, let's say this bride's mother's father worked on the mizbeach as a kohen oved, there's no need for bedika of this bride? De ilav de badkua lavi maskile. If not for the fact that those who are in charge of determining which kohanim are ksherim to do the avodah, if it's not for the fact that they already checked out the ichus, they would not allow him to serve on the mizbeach. And a similar idea we have now in the next part of the Mishnah, v'lo min ha-duchan ulamala maitaima di'omer mar she'sham ha'yu yoshvim miyachsei kohuna miyachsei levia. That in the Lishkas HaGozis outside the Beis HaMikdash, there was the Sanhedrin who would oversee not only the Kohanim, who would bring the Tomet Shel Shachar and all the other Karbonos through the day, the Tomet Shel Ben Arbayim, the Sanhedrin would check out the Kohanim to make sure that they were Miuchasim, but even as far as the Levim are concerned, who came to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, the Sanhedrin would not allow them to be Mishorim and go up to the Duchen without first checking out the Yichus. So therefore we can rely on the Sanhedrin, there's no need for another Bedika. V'lomi Sanhedrin l'mala ma'itayma t'toni Rav Yosef k'shem shebezdin minukim b'tzedek kach minukim mikol mum. To the same extent in which every member of the Sanhedrin, every single Dayan is absolutely reliable in tzedek, he would never distort the din, he would never receive bribes or for the sake of money to deviate from justice. So too, kach menukim kol mum, they don't have any psulim, they're all miyuchasim. Omar meremar makra, is there some sort of a rebez in the Tanakh itself that dayanim must be miyuchasim? And the pasuk is quoted from Shir Hashirim, Kulam Yofe Rayasi Umum Einbach. This pasuk is a description of the Sanhedrin. Mum Einbach means they have no psui yichus. So the Gemara asks the following question: Ema, how do I know that Mum Einbach means that they have any psui? Ema, maybe it means Muma Mamish. The pasuk is intending to tell us that there are no physical blemishes in the Sanhedrin. In other words, that would parcel them from serving as Dayanim on the Sanhedrin, but the pasuk doesn't say that they were makpin on Yichus. Omar Avach Bara Yaakov, therefore he comes up with a substitute pasuk, Omar Kra. The pasuk says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to gather together 70 Zkenim and appoint them as a Sanhedrin, this is in Bamidbar Yud Aleph, is Yatzvu Sham Imach. What is the extra word Imach here in this pasuk? They should stand there with you. Imach B'domim Lach. They should be like you, Moshe. They should have Yichus. And the Gemara now asks, Vidilma, perhaps this is not a special halacha, this is not a general halacha in Sanhedrin, but rather a special halacha in the context of the mitzvah of setting up the Sanhedrin of Moshe Rabbeinu in the 70s Kenim. They would have to be miyuchasim because mishum shechina, because the shechina would be shora on them in the future. And therefore we're not convinced that that pasuk could serve as a source that indeed the members of the Sanhedrin have to be, and were certainly miyuchasim. Meaning these 70 members of Sanhedrin had two capacities. They fit under two categories. They were dayanim on the pesin, at the same time they were neviim that would receive the Nevuah, Pesach Oel Moed, from HaKadosh Baruch, that's the Shekhinah. Maybe in that context they had to be Miyuchasim. Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Kro, we have another Pasuk to substitute for the other two, and that's in Shmos Yid Aleph with regard to Yisro and the appointment of judges. V'hakel me'olecha v'nasu itach. It means the Minui Dayanim was meant to lighten the burden of Moshe, because they will carry the burden together with you. And that's the word itach, with you. And that extra word itach tells me the domim lach, that these members of the Sanhedrin, the dayanim that were appointed, would be miyuchasim like Moshe Rabbeinu. There's no mention of Shechina here. There's no context of nevuah. Simply a requirement that they be miyuchasim in order to serve as dayanim. And therefore, anyone who has in his ancestry someone who is muksok as a dayan does not need bedika after his yichus. The fact that he served as a dayan is clear-cut proof that he was a miyuchas. We'll stop here.